Number 12 of the 48 ways is Bepilpul HaTalmidim. So, straight translated means Bepilpul is the questions and answers. HaTalmidim is of students. So the question is, what do we mean by that? If you understand anything about wisdom, you got to get it across to other people. You have to teach them. Now, why is it say the questions and answers? When you teach well enough, you're going to elicit questions and answers. So I focus you on the fact, I mean, we're all children, right? We have parents. You remember the time that your parent was trying to get you to do your homework or to get up early in the morning or not to go on a year trip around the world and finish college first, right? And they started nudging you, yeah? And you said, stop nagging me. What are you trying to do? Crush me? You want to force me? You want to brainwash me? And they said, what are you talking about? All I want to do is teach you. Yeah? But they didn't know how. How is it going to happen to you? Someday, your son is going to try to do something, and you want to teach him, and he's going to say, stop nagging me. What do you think? Is it going to happen to you? So when is the right time to learn how to teach so that you don't sound like a nag? When your son tells you, buzz off? Well, perhaps you should practice now. All right, so how do we go about doing it? Number one is, you got to practice like everything else. Ride a bicycle, you know, takes practice. You'll get the knack. Drive a car, first time you went out. I always use that example, but we all learned how to ride a bicycle. We all learned how to drive a car. You remember the first time you learned how to drive a car? You said, stop talking to me. You wanted to get us killed. The end of the block, there's a car. Yeah. Watch out. Because we're not sure of ourselves, right? So we make all kinds of mistakes, yeah. All right, but a little practice. And, you can talk to people. You can go your way. You can go through two cards. You know how to estimate everything, right? So the idea is, same thing goes with teaching. Teach at every opportunity. For example, what are opportunities? Someone asks you, you were in Israel? You were in a yeshiva? What did you learn there? What happened? Now, is that an opportunity? Huh? Now, watch out. I mean, the first time you make a mistake, you go, bong. You say, well, they teach you that there's a God, and they go, I don't want to know. You make a mistake. But you learn slowly, yes? You learn slowly. Well, they talk about life. What about life? You know, you learn slowly how to get them to start listening a little bit, yeah? First time, boy, you remember when you've got up on the bicycle, zing, yeah? It's all right, let's try again. The next one who asks you, slow down a little bit and try to lure him into it, yeah? What is a Jew? What do you think about the survival of Israel? They're all opportunities, right? Only you got to learn how to drive through that hole, yeah? Number two is that remove misconceptions. See, there are things that block you, like, notice that we have a negative in us. I'm going to teach people that there's a God or happiness is an obligation. What am I, a preacher? Who am I to tell people what to do? Right? So that's a misconception. You're not supposed to tell people anything. Teach, don't preach. What's the difference between teaching and preaching? Preaching is accept what I say. Yeah. I'm the authority. Park your mind and listen to me. Obey me. Yeah? Don't ask anybody to obey you. Well, who are you? You're right. Don't preach, even if it's your own son. But what does it mean to teach? Teach is show them. Get them to see it. Get them to understand. You see the difference? Yeah. Now, who are you to share wisdom? To show people what you understand? You understand. That's who you are. If you understand. See, as long as you're doing it in the sense of, I'm going to let them know, I'm going to straighten them out, I'm going to teach them, and they're going to admire me, and I'll fix the world. Boy, you've closed up the books. Nobody's going to listen to you, right? But as long as you focus on the fact that teaching means to show the way you see things, yeah? And let them give them your feedback. If you're wrong, correct me. Number three is that you have to desire to teach like you desire to drive a car. You know, you looked for it. You studied it. You were always ready to do it because you desired it, right? So how do we motivate ourselves to share wisdom? We're essentially selfish. So how do you motivate yourself to teach? So really the most profound obligation, moral obligation of them all is to teach. And you know why? Because, my friends, any one of us who knew how to cure cancer, if you knew how to cure cancer, now you know that there's a problem. If you're going to come out with a cure for cancer, people will laugh at you. Who are you? Yeah? But if a vision came, you know, this will cure cancer, right? Then what would you have to do? You'd have to be smart to be able to get the scientific community's acceptance of your cure for cancer. But you'd have a moral obligation to get that done because there's a lot of people suffering from it, right? And if you didn't do it, what were you? I'll kill a murderer. All these people who suffer. You're the murderer, right? Well, you realize that the worst disease of them all, the most destructive, the most painful, and the most contagious disease of them all is ignorance. People commit suicide out of ignorance, not because they have a cancer. They wreck their own children. They fight their own wives in terrible ways. It's out of ignorance. And suffer their whole lives out of ignorance. So if you can teach people how to be happy and you don't teach them, you see, happiness means that they are less likely to get cancer, less likely to murder their kids. A happy man doesn't murder his own kid. I mean, you know, by making him feel like a donkey, yeah? A happy man doesn't commit suicide. Teach him how to be happy. It's a moral obligation. Help a human being. So the Torah says that the top obligation is learn wisdom and teach it. Your obligation to another human being is get him out of his ignorance. So number four is that make a list of those things that you've learned, things that you've decided are valid, that you can immediately see that if you don't help another human being into this, you're inconsiderate. But happiness is up to a human being. Joy is an obligation. Do you buy this? Is this meaningful? If you do, then you know immediately that for goodness sake, I see these people walking around half dead. Give them some joy. Teach them how. Like you don't help a guy fix his car if you can help him. You know how to help a guy fix his carburetor and you don't help him. You know that that's a little stinky. Yeah. Here he is laboring with his carburetor, and you know what he's doing. Don't have time for him. The idiot. What a bum. So you know, this guy's walking around half dead, dragging himself through his obligation of touring, yeah, enjoying very little, and you can fix his carburetor. Yeah. That's his problem. That's not nice. Then it'll give you a feeling that you have an obligation to teach. All right, number five is, how do you see that if you care enough about people, you can't just sit back and let them make all the mistakes that they want to make? Who try to help you when you're making a mistake? They care. Yeah? If it's your neighbor's kids who are on heroin or wasting their lives, yeah, you say, isn't that terrible? What a pity. If it's your kids, yeah, say, what the heck am I going to do with them? Because you care. Your kids, you care, right? If your kids are miserable, you say, well, is there a psychologist around who can help? What can I do with those poor kids? Yeah? Let me try. Cheer up! Hey, it's a beautiful day. Why don't you enjoy living a little bit? Yeah? Which aggravates your kids no end. Did anybody ever come behind you and give you a good sock on the back and say, hey, you got everything to live for, Bill. Why aren't you enjoying life? Yeah? You want to kill them? Yeah? You say, that's exactly what I'm miserable about. I have everything to live for and I'm miserable.
That's it.
Yeah. But it's the one who cares for you that will make that feeble effort. He won't figure out how, what, when. Yeah, but he said, cheer up! Do you see that? It's the one who cares. He can't just sit there and walk by and watch you withering away. Yeah, it hurts. When you see your kids, it'll hurt you. When you care, you make an effort. Right? The important thing is to learn how. So if you'll care about other human beings, and you'll see them wasting their lives, not knowing what they're living for, being miserable, if you care about them, you'll help them. So care. At the very least, learn how to do it because you know you're going to care for your own children. Whatever you know is important for your children to learn, learn how to do it now. You want to teach your children to be happy? Learn how to do it now, otherwise you're going to nag them. Yeah? You're going to clap them on the shoulder and say, cheer up, son. You got everything to live for. I'm behind you. Yeah? Does that give you a shiver? Well, get some practice. Here's a guy who needs cheering up somewhere around here. Yeah? Focus him in. You'll be a practitioner of the art of teaching when your kids are old enough for you to teach them. You won't make mistakes. Number six is that realize when you have enough clarity on a particular subject, you must teach. We human beings, we do care about other human beings. When we have a clarity which is crystal clear, we have to try to reach out. We teach. So to focus your attention on this, let's say to you, tell me if you ever saw a fellow holding a baseball bat this way. Look at the way I'm holding the bat. Oh, yeah? What do? See him swing once, twice, but then what do? You walk over and you say, pardon me, I'm not in any way criticizing, you know. But I once heard that if you hold a bat this way, you get more into your swing. Why don't you try it out once and see whether it'll be a little better for you? Right? It hurts. How do you watch a guy swinging like this, yeah? Even if he's not on your team, even if he's on the opponent's team. Yeah. When we have clarity, it just bothers us when a person is off. Now, we have these feelings at times when we see parents nagging their kids because we've had it on our own back. Yeah. You see your friend's parents going after your friend, it hurts you, right? When you will be with children, married with children, you'll feel the same way. You see your friends doing it, fighting with their wives, whatever it is. You know that there are things that are wrong and they'll bother you. But you won't care enough about them to figure out how to straighten them out. Yeah? But it'll hurt you. You'll be afraid to reach out because you don't want to lose your friends. You don't want to... You follow? But if you had enough clarity, you'd know how to do it. Just like the guy with a baseball bat, you know? So if you're afraid of talking, it means because you don't have the clarity. If you don't make the effort, it means you don't care enough. For your son, you would care. Yeah? For your son, you'd say, well, with this awareness, I can't tell him, look, you got to get up in the morning, otherwise nothing will come of you, right? You say, "What? How do I present it to him?" Right? Once you've gotten that concept, teach, don't preach, which means show him, don't tell him. If that's clear in your mind, you're not going to make the mistake of telling your son and turning him off. Yeah? And saying, why the heck doesn't he listen to me? Yeah? Doesn't he know I'm his father who wants his good? We all make that mistake, you know. After all, I'm telling him, he should say, thank you very much, Dad. You really did me a favor. You've made it perfectly clear. And from now on, I'm going to get up in the morning. I'm going to do my homework. I'm going to... Right? This is a mistake we make. Yeah. But once you have the mistake, don't tell him. People don't accept telling, even from their dad. Show. So then, when you care enough, you'll make an effort. You'll be rebuffed once, you'll try another way, right? You'll figure out how. So I say, care enough now, try it, you'll learn how. Yeah. Okay, number seven is, there are other things that hold us back from teaching. One of them is, I'm not ready yet. I don't understand. I don't have perfect clarity. You see? Who am I to teach? I don't know enough yet.
I haven't attained the ultimate in wisdom. So remove the rationalization by, you can't wait until you're perfect. Nobody's perfect. Ultimate clarity is a long way off. The best teachers make mistakes. It's true. You might teach the wrong thing. You might be making a mistake. You don't have ultimate clarity. But teach the best you can, the best you know. Share. Happiness is an obligation. Share your imperfect understanding of it. Of course you don't have a perfect understanding of it. You're not even doing it yourself. But you understand it's true, to show it to other people. Don't wait until you're perfect. There's no such place. Number 8 is, remove the next rationalization. They don't want to learn. They don't want to know.
People, look, if they came to me and asked me how to be happy, well, then surely I would teach him, right? Or if I would tell them, they would say, who's asking you?
Yeah.
So, remove that rationalization. You have an obligation, which means that a guy is batting with the wrong stance. He doesn't know how to fix his carburetor. He's suffering. You've got to get them to hear you. There is no waiting for him to want to be helped. You see somebody bleeding in the street, you help him. He just got hit by a car. He says, no, leave me alone. He's bleeding. Leave me alone. You say, sure, friend. I'll leave you alone. Let's just get you a glass of water, right? You're not going to hit him to help him. Yeah, he's bleeding already, yeah? But you walk along with him. You say, okay, watch out for this car, right? Okay, yeah? Do you follow? So you go along with him. You don't wait until he's waiting to be helped. You try to find a way that he'd be willing to sit down. Let me get a little blood off you, right? You reassure him. You try to get him to cooperate with you. You don't say, well, he doesn't want to help. He doesn't. You follow? So if a fella is miserable and he's beating up his kids and he's wasting his life and he doesn't want. So you say, yeah, yeah, sure, I'm your friend, yeah. Right, okay, sure, anything. Watch out for that car. That's your obligation. You don't wait until he says, please, great teacher, do me a favor, open my eyes. You're not going to hear that song for a long, long time. All right, number 9 is, let's focus now that we got rid of the rationalizations and you guys are motivated and you really want to help your fellow man. So let's define teach. We already said is don't preach. But let us go on to teach, don't tell them. Teach, don't declaim. Teach, don't recite. Teach, don't inspire. Teach, don't entertain. See, teaching is not being a demagogue and moving people with emotional sway. Yeah? That's not teaching. That's moving them. They're ready to go kill. Or that's brainwashing them, right? Emotionalism. So it's not to recite.
Do you ever have a teacher who recited the book? Yeah? That's not teaching. So what is teaching?
It's getting someone to appreciate what you appreciate. Teaching means to reach someone. To show him in a way that he, A, you got to get him to give you a hearing, otherwise you're not going to teach anything. But it goes a little further because you got to get him to, you know, pay attention. But unless he makes a decision on his own that this is valid, then you're brainwashing him. Then you're forcing it down his throat. You see, he has to weigh it out. But it's not enough. He has to make a decision. And it's not enough. But he makes a decision, but it's got to feel that this is true. And he's got to put it into effect, into use. Otherwise, you have failed in teaching. So see if this is, I just want to focus your attention. If I mean it, and I know that it's true, that you got a telegram that you won $1 million in a lottery in the United States of America, right? And I give you that piece of information, then you're going to ask all kind of questions. Because somehow, my reading that telegram, I say, Bill, yeah, you won. Boy, you hear me, yeah? You listen, right? And you say, well, where is it? I want to see it. I don't know, some guy. What do you want, some guy? I mean, you know the people around here, right? Because it got across. It happens to be you're very interested in that telegram. It's not a tough job of teaching it.
Yeah. But unless I know it, then there's no way you're going to hear me. Unless I'm a good actor. Yeah.
So if I can only tell you in reality, happiness is completely up to you. And it's a powerful tool for living. If I was a good enough teacher, boy, you'd come and haunt me. If you heard it. But as long as you, at least you got a concept across, you got, yeah, it's towards that.
All right, number 10 is, plan the opportunity. Plan the opportunity means, you know, you're coming back to the United States, and any one of you who's been here for a week, you know your parents are going to be dying of curiosity. What the heck did you do in a yeshiva? What did you shake all day? Or, you know, what did you do in a yeshiva? You know, intelligent young man like you, they're going to be dying of curiosity. And you know that that's an opportunity. Don't waste it, right? So how are you going to use that opportunity? And for goodness sake, in your mind, you know that if you tell them, well, I learned that there's a God and we have to listen to him, that's it. They said, my poor son. Oh, that's it, my poor son. Yeah. So how are you going to use the opportunity? You say, Dad, guess. Huh? Now he's really curious. Well, what do you think I learned? They have a way that's called happiness. Yeah. It's one of the ways for living. What does that mean, happiness is a way for living? Say, well, they have a definition for happiness. Do you understand that if you do a little bit, uncover a little bit, they're going to look to hear what it is that you learned? As long as you're not telling them, you have an obligation to be happy. That's it.
My son is coming back and telling me I've got obligations. Yeah, that's what they teach him in a yeshiva. Yeah.
B of this is make your opportunities. Plan your opportunities means you know that there are certain opportunities coming up. Yeah. But B is make your opportunities. How do you make your opportunities? You're on the plane back and look, friends, you know how boring a plane ride is. Yeah. Right? And a lot of us think, boy, I'd like to speak to this fellow over here and ask him where he's going, what he's doing, but he might say, you're impertinent, you're stupid, you're an ignoramus, I don't want to talk to plebeians like you. Well, who knows what he's going to say, yeah, right? But you all know that if you ask advice, do you have any trepidation in walking down the street and asking somebody, where's the old city? People like to help.
Now, if you ask someone, you know, I was thinking about this. Could you help me out? You know, I was in a yeshiva. They said, what? You know, yeah, but I wanted to ask you. See, they said that happiness is an obligation. They said that if you don't know what you're living for, you're a zombie. Yeah. Now, I understand what they said. You understand? I understand. That isn't the problem. You see, I understand that if you don't know what you want, how are you going to make it? I understand it. But I don't really understand why I don't take the time to figure it out. Now, can anybody resist helping you in trying to figure out?
But first, you'll have to explain to him why you're a zombie if you don't.
But if you share your problems with people, and we got plenty of problems, because no matter what you understand, there's an aspect of this wisdom that you don't understand, right? If you share your problems, they'll listen to all the information beforehand in order to help you to solve the problem, yeah? And it's fascinating. You've taught them. Powerful tool. You can make plenty of opportunities all along the way. Just using that little alchemy of turning a piece of information into a problem and asking people to help you solve your problem. Okay, number 11 is that in order to really teach, you should have an inventory. You cannot be a teacher without your inventory. What do you know about living? If you were asked to teach, if somebody said to you, you're in Israel, what did you learn? Give a class in the community center. Yeah. B of this is realize that even before you got to yeshiva, you learned something about life. Is that right, David? You know something about life? You know that the Jewish people is worth fighting for. That was your thing, right? Bill, you learned. You know about life that don't trust too many people, right? Am I right? There's some things that you knew that you learned about life that you felt. Make an inventory. As long as it's there, it's in the back of your head, I've changed, I'm more mature, I can take disappointments better, I'm more independent, I see the way different people live, I'm more tolerant, whatever it is. Yeah, but until you can articulate it and share it with others, it's hazy. And you will not share it.
And you will not have it yourself. And number 12 is organize that inventory for the proper occasion. I mean, you know that you have a come on, you know, like saleable item, and happiness is an obligation. Yeah?
You got to present it right. People don't like the word obligation. We don't say you got to be Jewish to be happy. Just got to know how. And every human being is a better human being if he's a happy human being. Even an atheist should be happy. Like an atheist should be honest, an atheist should be happy. We'll teach you how. Be a happy atheist. Better father, better brother, better citizen, better opponent, better hold-up man. You understand? Who would you rather have holding a gun at you? A happy hold-up man or a miserable guy? Better hold-up man. So we'll teach you how to be happy. Just, you know, let's spread a little good cheer in this world rather than misery. Yeah?
So that should be your lead item to get people to come to a to come back for more, right? Then there are things that are more crucial. Know what you're living for is really more crucial than being happy, but it's not a lead item. Because, unless I'm a zombie, what's your business?
I mean, it's a little harder to get people to pay attention that you got to know what you're living for. But you should organize what are the things that people be fascinated with, what are the things that people really have to get crucially, but you have to wait until you got a better opportunity to teach it to them, and what are the things that are easily transferred, and what are the things that are more difficult to explain, what are the things that I know best. You should organize it, and then you will teach the proper things at the proper time. Make sense?
All right, number 14 is, in Judaism we say, everything you learn. When you learn Talmud, if you stay here long enough, and we get you into Talmud, into Mishnah, into Chumash, and to the more sophisticated studies, whatever you learn, learn in order to teach. And that will settle you into what you're learning. You'll know whether you know it or you don't. If it's worth learning, it's worth sharing. Plan to share. So, B of this is, when you teach a class, when you teach what you've learned, the way to focus on giving a class is mean to reach. So the rabbis say that everybody who teaches should review what he teaches four times before he teaches. They said even the Almighty, when he taught the Jewish people and he taught Moses, reviewed it four times. I don't know what that means, but it means you better review. Right? I don't know what it means. I don't know what they mean that he reviewed it. Yeah? It doesn't make sense to me, but one thing is getting across. Yeah, review. Now, why review? Because you've got to understand, in order to reach, it has to be real to you. You've got to test before you give a class, and before I give this class, you see, I go over the points, right? Even though I've given it 100 times, because it's got to be real. It's got to come from a reality in order to be real for you. In order to reach someone else, you can't recite it. It can't be dead notes, yeah? It's got to be real to you. This is a necessity. This is something that's got to be done in order to reach people. Then you hear me. Did you hear my moving in to reach it for myself? Then I can reach you. When I feel it, dvorim hayotzim min alev, nichnosim alev. When something is felt by the teacher, it is felt by the person that is being spoken to. It has to be fresh. It has to be alive. Okay, number 15 is, stop yelling. Stop arguing, stop telling people what to do, stop accusing, but start teaching. Eh? How many times you get into a fight with your friends? Yeah, with your parents, with your brother, with your sister? Yeah, yeah. You're always taking the first. Yeah, decide what it is that you want to straighten them out about. Yeah, you want to teach them something about living. Yeah. Don't bother me. That's what you want to teach him. All right? Okay. Figure out how to teach him. Don't aggravate yourself and aggravate them with a lot of arguments and bad humor, and right?
But figure out, what do I want him to know? I want him to know, I mean, it takes a little bit to figure out exactly what you want him to know, right? I want my brother to know that he better not mess my room, or I'm going to beat the bejabbers out of him, right?
That's what I want him to know. Yeah? Is that exactly what you want him to know? No, no, no.
I want him to know that it's the wrong thing to mess up someone else's room, and there might be consequences. Is that a better statement? Yeah, a little better, right? I want him to appreciate that really I'm a human being like him. And just like he doesn't like to have his room messed up, I don't like to have my room. Does that sound a little better?
Yeah.
It takes a little while to know exactly what you want him to know. But you work at it, you'll get at it. Yeah. Now will come a second question. Now, how are you going to show it to him? How will you reach him? Not how will you aggravate him, challenge him, dare him, antagonize him, and make an enemy out of him. That's not the point, right? I want to share it with him. It'll take a little while. You see that. It'll take a little while for you to adjust into the right area, yeah? But it's certainly worth the time and effort. But it's not only your brother with messing up your room, but it's your boss and your employer, your employee, and your father and your son. Stop yelling. Start reaching. All right, now why? Why do we need this in order to live? So number one of the necessity is, in Judaism we say, until you can teach something, you don't understand it. Until you transfer it to someone else, it's in a figment in your imagination. Remember in school when the teacher asked, who knows this equation? You raise your hand, she said, go ahead, you teach. And you started going, well, and you really thought you knew it. Yeah? But you try to explain it, you figured you don't know it. But you don't really understand something until you can show it to someone. It's still hazy. Until you share, it's not yours. Number two is that, look, anytime you share something, it's vivid. You've taken it out of a potential and you've made it into a reality. You share it with someone, you get him to see it, you awaken him, it stays with you in vividness, in technicolor. Number three is that, look, we all want to be good. Every human being. Do you want to be a good man? Do you want to be a good man? We all want to be good. We need self-respect. Yeah? Self-respect is share your insights into living with others. To be alone is not self-respect. You see someone bleeding, you have to help. Otherwise, you're going to suffer. You know you're a brute. You're an animal. You're not a human being. You've got to appreciate you understand something about living and you don't share it. You're not a human being. There's something in you that says, I don't care about other human beings. I'm a lone wolf, a rogue elephant. Do you see this? You've got to share. You want to be good? This is it. Number four is that the rabbis say, Mitalmidai Yesu Mikulam. I learned a lot from my teachers, and they had great teachers. I learned more from my peers, and they had great peers. But I learned most from my students. And the question is asked, how in the world they had excellent teachers who knew how to convey, who knew how to transfer the information, who were chock full of life, of wisdom, of appreciation. And they were good students. They listened carefully. And they put it into effect. Yeah. And they said, but for my students, I learned more than all the others. And why is that? That's because until we reach into our powers of creativity, we are not really alive. When we teach others and we show them meaning and we can see them understanding, then we are teaching, we are reaching, we are plugging into the most powerful drive a human being has, creative. When you feel that power of creativity, you reach into all of your understanding and you grow. You grow most from your students. Powerful thing. Try it. It gives you power. It's a creative drive that we're all really looking for. All right, just one more. Number five is that, for goodness sake, don't suffer the world, cure it. Don't suffer stupidity, straighten it out. And that's only through teaching. Stamp it out by informing. All right, as far as an assignment is concerned, one time, make a list, the inventory, five of the most important things you know about living. Doesn't matter where you got it. Everyone should make that effort. The second step that you should make is take two people and each one of them teach one of the five. You can choose. Teach one of the five, and if it's something that he knows, that, you know, happiness is an obligation, it's all right. Teach him why you think it's the most important thing that you know. It's one of the five most important things. Get it across. Explain it. Articulate it. Live a little. Thank you very much.
You have been listening to Voices from Jerusalem. For a complete listing of our cassettes, see our web store at aish.com. For a free cassette catalog, email us at voices@aish.com or call toll-free in the U.S. 1-800-VOICES-3. Our main office is at 1 Western Wall Plaza, Jerusalem, Israel. Shalom from Jerusalem.